Anyway, good morning to you all. Happy Easter to you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Yes. And are we excited that he is risen?
Yes,
he is risen indeed. And it is because he is risen we can celebrate. It is because of his finished work we celebrate. This morning, I'm just going to get my glasses on. We come to celebrate. But 3 days ago in history, 3 days earlier, what was there to celebrate? We call it Good Friday. And I remember preaching a message many, many years ago when we did a community-wide Good Friday service. And my question was, what is so good about Good Friday? And today, when we think back, really that day had such a tragic ending. But today we're looking at, well, we're going to revisit it. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. And in him, new life begins. I love this morning everything. You know, when the Spirit leads. And I just love it when we come together. And now let's think back to that Friday, we don't know that it was a Friday. In fact, I think it was a Thursday, if you count 3 full days. We put it on the weekend because it's convenient for us. We can have a holiday. But 3 days. You see, the first day of the week that Jesus rose on was a Sunday. That's why we gather as the church on Sunday, the first day, the day he rose. But 3 full days before that is when he was laid in the grave. Now we think back to that day. The night before was the Passover where Jesus and his disciples met together. He washed their feet. And for the first time, he broke the communion bread. This is my body. This is my blood for you. You go to the garden to pray together. Where Jesus asks, if there's another way, Lord. Is there another way? But obediently, he takes the cup that is before him. The soldiers come and take him away. He is put on trial before Pilate, before the Sanhedrin and the high priests. And they incite riot against him. And he is condemned. Soldiers parade through the crowds the spectacle of 3 men who have been condemned to death. 3 men dragging their cross, condemned to die on them. 1 man with a crown of thorns piercing his head. So bloody and beaten, he's barely recognizable as a man. Mothers pull their children away, covering their eyes so not to be scared and scarred by the sight. And they watch Jesus. They watch him fall 3 times under the weight of his cross. And the soldiers, in a hurry to get on with it, pull a spectator from the crowd to help him carry his cross. And they parade him up the hill to its destination, to the top of Golgotha, Mount of the Skull. There's the sign, King of the Jews. There's the hammer, there's the nails, and the agonizing cries and moans as Jesus is nailed to a cross. And then that cross is dropped into a hole dug into the ground between 2 condemned men, both criminals. Jesus surrounded by criminals, by wrongdoers, before him, behind him, and on either side of him, the innocent. Now, the death watch. There is the mocking and the jeering, and even the cry out from one of the condemned, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself, save us." And then the rebuke from the other. "Don't you fear God? We are punished justly, but this man has done no wrong. And then he asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. This man on the cross, this one who has done wrong, this criminal, and all have fallen short, recognizes this is the king and he's coming into his kingdom. He doesn't say, "Save me, Jesus, help me off the cross here." He says, "Just remember me." Recognizing who he is, that he doesn't have to do a thing because he, as the criminal, deserved the punishment he was getting. Remember me. And Jesus says this, you will be with me today in paradise. What a promise. What a promise. I want to say this, I don't know. I didn't research how long Jesus hung on the cross before noon. But we know that at noon, while he's been on the cross, the skies got dark. And the whole land was in darkness until 3 p.m. Now, some say it was a solar eclipse or whatever. Could have been, but none that we've ever heard of has lasted 3 hours. This is a sign from God. Darkness was over the whole earth. The sun was not being allowed to shine. From noon till 3 hours, 3 hours more he hung on that cross. 3 hours more he suffered for us, for you, for me, and for those who were refusing to recognize who he was, and for those who knew who he was. And at the end of this time, it says that the curtain in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And we're not talking a nice little delicate curtain. We're talking something that was 6 to 8 inches thick, ripped from the top to the bottom. The curtain in the temple between the holy place and the holy of holies, where no man was allowed to enter except the priest once a year. And that only with the blood of the lamb. But the blood of the lamb had been shed. And the Holy of Holies opened for all. And that's important for us to remember and to know. There was a symbol again of what had happened. And at that hour of 3 p.m., Jesus, can you imagine this? It says, with a loud voice, with all the breath he had left in him, cries out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Sorry, Lord, didn't mean to take that out of. And when he said this, he breathed his last breath for the next 3 days. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the council, it says, who disagreed with the council and what they had did, a good and upright man, he went to Pilate and he asked for Jesus' body. He took it down, he wrapped it in linen, and followed by the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee. I'm just going to say this. Where were the guys? It says, followed by the women. He laid his body in the new, never-used tomb that had been cut out of stone. Cut out of the rock, and a large stone was rolled in front of the entrance. And the women went home to prepare spices and pure perfume for his body. Now, I don't want to mock the men in that. Please hear me. Because there were other women that were not there. But all of a sudden, it was everybody run for yourself. Take care of yourself. Hide. In their minds, what they had expected to happen didn't happen. He was dead. He was in the grave. Where is he? Their dreams, their hopes, their desires lost. In that moment, and so Lord, the Lord body laid in the grave with the women God. Can we ask Al to go outside? Thank you. And the women preparing the spice had to wait three days. On the first day of the week, 3 days after his death, very early, sorry, I missed a picture there for you. Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they're expecting to be greeted by soldiers guarding the tomb and a heavy stone that they would need to be moved. But when they get there, they find that the soldiers are nowhere. The stone is rolled away. And to their dismay, there's no body either. And they're wondering about this. And as they're contemplating, where have they done? What have they done with him? Two men in gleaming white clothes appear to them, asking them why they are looking for the living among the dead. He's not here. He has risen just like he had told them. And when they heard these words, they remembered. They remembered and they went back rejoicing to tell the 11. Now we know the story of Mary Magdalene, how she encounters Jesus in the garden before the tomb as she's weeping, where is the body? And Jesus speaks to her, woman, who are you looking for? She doesn't recognize him. She's not expecting him. You know, she thinks he's the gardener. He's probably dressed in gardener clothes. Why? Excuse me. Because he was buried in a cloth of linen. He has no clothes. And when he comes out, now that's just my interpretation. I have no proof. Sorry. But she hears his voice. My sheep know my voice. And he tells her to go. And all the women have gone and they tell the disciples. And the disciples don't say, woohoo, look at that, yay. No, what do? They run, two of them run, Peter and John, back to the tomb because they got to see for themselves. I'm not going to trust any women. It was emotional. And they go and see for themselves. And it says that John remembers when he's sitting there and he's holding the cloth. He remembers what Jesus said. But they're still uncertain of what's coming. And so they go and they hide in an upper room. Or not an upper room, in a room with the doors locked. I don't know if it's an upper room or not. The upper room, I think, was the supper. So I apologize. And they're waiting there. They don't know what to do. And who appears in the midst of them? Doors locked. There he is. And it was, wah! It was a little startling, a little scary. Are you a ghost? And Jesus, he says to them, I love this, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Now, if Jesus was suddenly in the room where everything was locked and he appeared, I think I'd be a little startled too. And because of all the things we've been hearing, what kind of doubts rise in our mind? Is he really here? Am I just seeing a ghost? And he responds to them. He says, he shows them his hands and his feet. And he says, does a ghost have flesh and bones? What do we know about ghosts? Their spirit, right? But here he is, flesh and bone, right before them, showing them the scars of their hands. And their doubts begin to ebb away. Their fear begins to ebb away as he talks with them. Now we know that he was with his disciples for 40 days speaking with them, and many other followers going around and showing himself and talking with them. And we know that he ascended to heaven. And there's so much more in that ascension. Sometimes we stop here. But he ascended to heaven where he's seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father, which means so much for us. But we haven't got time to go there today. We will another time. He has ascended, and they watched him go up. And as they remember his words, I just want to take us back to this scripture here. And this is where Jesus is talking to Martha while her brother Lazarus is lying in the grave. And he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. No one who believes in me, or the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now let's face it, folks. We know that this flesh and blood is going to die. And we are going to get a new resurrected body. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Glorified body, just like Jesus. Excited about that. But the thing is, we don't have to wait till heaven to receive eternal life. It's ours now. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Now, I ask you this morning, do you believe in him?
Yes.
Do you believe what he just said there? If you believe in me, you can live now. Whoever lives by believing in me. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, are you living that eternal life that Jesus died to give you? That Jesus took all your sins to the grave and to hell, and then trusting in the Father's promise, was raised again to new life. And he offers that new life to each of us, that everlasting, eternal life. What a wonderful Savior we have. He is our resurrection, and he is our life. You see, it's always about Jesus. It's always about how we view Jesus. And I'm sure you've heard this, and I struggle to use this word, but you'll understand why in a minute. We're the only religion, and I say that because we know there's lots of religions, though we say we don't have religion, we have a relationship, but we're the only ones who really do have that, a relationship. We have a Savior. See, true Christianity puts the burden of salvation on Jesus. The burden of salvation is on Jesus, not on us, not what we do or what we don't do. Your part and my part, our only part in it is, will we believe and receive it? Whoever lives by believing in me will never die, Jesus said. Do you believe this? Now we have salvation. But you see, salvation is much more than this. Getting our sins forgiven so we can go to heaven instead of going to hell. That's been the way it's been taught for so many years. Get your ticket punched for heaven, right? But it's so much more than that. So much more. That what God has done through Jesus. Yes, our sins are forgiven. His work was perfect. A perfect work of Jesus. Our sins are done. There is no longer sin standing between us and God. Between God and man. But it didn't stop there. Jesus rose to new life to give us new everlasting life to anyone who would believe. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorites. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old and the is here. The new is here. Again, depending on what translation you have, but it all says the same thing. Our old sinful life has been done away with. It's been nailed to the cross. And our new life in Christ has happened the very moment we believed and received. New eternal life. Again, I say, do we not serve a wonderful Savior? But it didn't stop there. And it continues on with this eternal life. And again, we don't have time this morning to go through all the benefits, but we have them. I want to take us to now to John 17, verses 1 to 3. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Jesus, his thinking is always about others, even his heavenly Father. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give them give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now let's just stop for a minute. He's been given all authority, and what is he doing with his authority? Is he lording it over us? No, here he is giving. Once again, giving. I'm giving the eternal life to those you're giving me. Now, this is eternal life. Listen to this, folks. This is eternal life from the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we know you, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus whom you've sent. You see, the curtain was torn in the temple, and the Holy of Holies was open to all men. And we can boldly come before the resurrection and the life. And so we're going to just take a moment. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to just ask you, if that's in your heart this morning, if the Lord's stirring in your heart, just pray. We're all going to pray together, but you pray with us, believing this in your heart. So we come before you, Father. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus. Jesus, we just thank you that you have removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and you've drowned them in the sea of forgetfulness. Thank you for that beautiful work. Lord, I invite you to come into my heart. I give my life to you, that I may live with you forever, starting today. In your name I pray, Jesus. And all the people said, amen. If that was you this morning, I want you to take time this morning to tell somebody. It says if we believe in our hearts but confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. And I want to tell you, it's a hard step sometimes. It makes us, but take that step because it breaks something. And that freedom comes in knowing Jesus. Tell them. And don't be afraid. In fact, if you've done it, I'd say lean to the person next to you and tell them now. So this morning, we are going to move into baptism. And the question is asked, so why baptism? Why do we baptize? Chris, I still have slides. Oh, okay, sorry. That's fine. Thank you. Okay, I'll just whip through. Okay, perfect. Okay. Okay. Jesus gave his disciples some instructions just before he ascended to heaven. And that's from Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Making disciples, not just converts. Make of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Oops, sorry, next one. From Romans 6:3, or did you not know that all of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So when we go into the water and go under, we're recognizing we're baptized into Christ and we died with him. That old nature died with him. And then, we're going to move on to this. This is from the Message Bible. Entering into his fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. You're insiders, and that's those who believe in Jesus. Not through secretive initiation rites, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you. Destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism, and that's what Wendy's doing this morning. Going under the water was the burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was the resurrection. God raised you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, the old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to the Christ's cross. He stripped all spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy this Resurrection Sunday. And remember, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Bless you guys.